I could only do something spectacular, really cool, maybe people would listen to me. You know, nothing major, but, you know, maybe something like raising the dead. Not like zombies, because that's not cool, that's kind of creepy, but, you know, like Lazarus. Or maybe that's too much. Maybe if I could just walk across Lake Sakakawea. I mean, people would go, hey, there's something about that guy. We better listen to what he has to say. Please bow with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for this day. Lord, we are blessed in so many ways, Lord. We want to praise you and thank you. To you be all the glory. Pray, Lord, that you'll be with me at this time, that I'll speak from your word to your glory. Draw us closer, ever closer to you, Almighty God. May we always be learning and growing and drawing closer. May you be praised. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
This morning we're going to be studying from John chapter 10, verses 40 through 42. John chapter 10, verses 40 through 42. The Jewish leaders were ready to kill Jesus. Now he asked them why. He said, for what good thing that I've done are you wanting to kill me? And in that conversation, at the end of that conversation, they wanted to kill him again. Still. And so that leads us to verse 40. And he went away again beyond the Jordan to the place where John was first baptizing, and he was staying there. Many came to him and were saying, while John performed no sign, yet everything John said about this man was true. Many believed in him there. He goes away. And I think that tells us something about ministry. I think Jesus left Jerusalem because his ability to share the gospel had become non-existent, really. I mean, every time he tried to say something, the Jewish leaders want him dead. They're trying to kill him. So his ability to do good there had reduced significantly, if not completely gone away. And I think that tells us something about our ministry. There are times when we need to back up. There are times when we need to maybe go away. And I don't necessarily mean that physically, but sometimes that's just a spiritual thing. As an example, my mom and dad, they live in kind of like a retirement apartment kind of place. It's a lot of old people. Just a year I could live there, but you know. Well, there's this one guy, and they're always talking people about Jesus. And there's this one guy, his name is Joel, and he said, hey, I don't want you to talk to me about Jesus. Now, if my parents decided, we don't care what you want, we're going to talk to you about Jesus, that would have done no good. So they decided, okay, we're just going to be friendly, we're going to talk to him, we're going to talk about stuff that he wants to talk about, you know, whatever. Okay, so not too long ago, he had to call 911 as he's being rushed out of the apartment building on the gurney. He looks at my parents because they come out of their door to see what the big deal is all about. And he looks at my parents and he says, pray for me. Now you get how huge that is? Now I'm convinced that if they said, hey, we don't care what you want, we're gonna talk to you about Jesus and we're gonna do it, if they didn't back up, I don't think that would have happened. So sometimes we need to back up. We need to understand that we're inviting people to hear about Jesus. We're not cramming Jesus down their throats.
Amen.
That is not how our God operates. But there are also times when physically this might be true. So years ago, I was in Honduras, and the city that we lived in, we were living in at the time, I was only there for 3 weeks, but you know, we were living there. We were traveling about 5 miles to another city and doing our work projects in that city, so we broke up into two groups. One group was working on the church building, building them a church building. The other group was working on one of the Christian families. They had a lot of children. They had a mother-in-law that was living with them, and they were getting too crowded. I mean, the houses there, I mean, we live in mansions comparably. And so we were building what we would call a mother-in-law cottage. But it was just a small building, cinder block building we're building so the mother-in-law could stay on the property but still be a part of their lives. So I get this call on the radio. Hey, could you bring the interpreter? There's this guy here that's causing trouble. So I grab the interpreter, we go over there, and there's this guy. Apparently, this young man had cornered two of our college-age girls in a corner of the building, threateningly. Okay, so we're taught, she's talking to him. I've got one young college man that's wanting to start a fight, and I'm trying to get in between him because I'm probably, you know, that's probably not the best way to handle this. And the interpreter is telling him, say, look, these American girls are not impressed with your machismo. They're not impressed with you trying to, you know, be all, yeah, I'm gonna force you to like me kind of thing. Okay, so the local people there, the members of the church that have come to help us build, they said, look, if this guy leaves, he's the local drug dealer, he's going to go get a weapon. We know he has a pistol, we know he has a machete. Soon as he left, I said, pack it up, go back to where we're staying. I went and got the other group, packed them up, and as I'm driving out of this village, sure enough, he had gone home and got a machete. Okay, so we meet with the other groups, of the other leaders of this group, and we decide, because they know where we're at, we're only 5 miles away, they'd already been there, that we were going to cut our stay there short and move on. Some of the college kids, women and men, they were, oh, they're like, oh, this is letting him win. How much good are we going to do to the gospel if we allow these young college students to be hacked up with a machete? Is that going to further the cause of the kingdom? There are times when we understand that our ability to do what needs to be done in a certain place has ceased to exist and it's time to move on. Okay, so Jesus moves on. But here's the thing. Jesus doesn't just randomly go somewhere else. He goes to the first place that John the Baptist was preaching, Bethany beyond the Jordan. Not exactly sure where that was. Okay, a lot of people want to say, hey, it was right here, but we're just not sure. He's at Bethany beyond the Jordan, where John was first baptizing. And here's what's significant. The people in that area, they loved John. And part of John's message was, behold, the Lamb of God, the one who has come to take away the sins of the world. Even though he comes after me, I am not worthy to untie his sandals. Jesus didn't just leave without a plan. And I think there's also a lesson here about timing. He came back to this place at exactly the right time. I think sometimes that's important. But here's the thing that amazes me. The message of this crowd. They're like, John the Baptist did no signs. Now that's bigger than it initially sounds. Because the Jewish people said that at the time that this was written, they believed that you could not be a prophet unless you did a sign. Matter of fact, they even took it further. There are some rabbinical writings that say you can't even praise a man unless he's done a sign. Some kind of miraculous thing that says, hey, I'm from God. But they listened to John. They flocked to see John. And here's the thing. There was nothing amazing about John. Matter of fact, under other circumstances, they would have looked at him and said, the guy's a little bit crazy. He's living in the wilderness. He's eating wild locusts. He's yelling at all of us to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He's asking Jewish people to be baptized. That might be all right for Gentiles, but not Jewish people. But they flocked to him. And I think that's important because sometimes we believe that ministry has got to be flashy. I remember when I was in college, I was sick, and I just turned on the TV, and there was this television evangelist. And he's going to do this faith healing of this little girl that was deaf, and she's probably about 12 years old, and he walks up to her and he slams her in the forehead. I mean, healed! She falls to the ground. They sit her back up on a chair, and he says, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go behind you, and I'm going to whisper on either side, and you indicate which side I'm on by raising your hand. And you know what? 50% of the time, she was right. And so his comment was, the Lord is already beginning to heal her. And my thought was, do people really fall for that? Yes, they do, because we're desperate not only to believe that God does things, but that we're able to as well, right? We want our ministry to be flashy. And even if we're not talking about miracles. So when we do the workshop, we offer congregations an opportunity to tell about what God's doing in their congregation. I think that's a good thing. I don't want to change it. But do we understand that sometimes we're putting pressure on people? Well, yes, this is what God is. And we've got to say something amazing and spectacular. And I wrestle with that because if I told you about my week, it's not really that flashy. I come in here on a Monday morning and I study. I mean, for a lot of people, it would seem really boring because I'm looking at Greek and I'm looking at the wording and I'm looking at the, you know, and then Monday afternoon, I usually am out at the Youth Correction Center and I'm sending out emails telling them what we're going to do through the week, and then I'm also going to the cottages and visiting. And often that visit just means me going in there saying, hey, how you doing, and shaking hands, and that's the extent of it. It doesn't sound very flashy. Okay, so on a Tuesday morning, I come back here and I study some more. Because I happen to believe God's word is really important. Okay? And so Tuesday afternoon, I go home and I'm studying and writing the bulletin article. Wednesdays, I'm here again. And what am I doing? Studying! It's not flashy! Sometimes Wednesday afternoons are different. It just depends. Thursday, I'm here again, and I am
studying.
Thursday at 1 o'clock, I go into the prison to do a Bible study. And I'd like to make that sound really exciting, and sometimes I do. I'm like, hey, I was there one time, and a fight broke out. Okay, that's a true story. But it makes it sound like I'm putting my life on the line. It's not really that flashy. I might emphasize how I have to go through, like, I don't know, 7 metal gates that clank behind me and stuff, which is also true, but it sounds, you know, bigger. Well, I'll be honest with you, the first time I did that, it was a pretty big deal. Until you feel those gates slamming behind you and going, clank. Okay, but I do it every week, often twice a week. It's really not that cool. And then Thursday afternoons, I'm going to the Youth Correction Center. I'm doing paperwork and handing out Bibles. Friday, I'm at the Youth Correction Center for 9 hours plus, trying to do chaplain's hours. Often the kids don't want to do it. Sometimes I'll get one or two. It's not that incredible. I'd like to say, yeah, every time I'm out there, I get 20 kids coming to my chaplain's hours. That would be a lie. You see, there's something about we want to say, hey, this is what I'm doing, and it's flashy. And somewhere along the line, we miss the importance of our message. It's not about what I'm doing, it's about what God has already done.
Amen.
It's about the power and life and message of Jesus Christ, our Savior. It's about how He can come into the life and change us. So I've been talking to this young lady. who's told me a couple of times now, every day when I wake up, I think I don't want to live. I'd like to tell you that I say the words and her life has changed. But I can't. I do my best. I do a lot of praying. I ask for God to give me wisdom. And I am convinced that if she would just allow God to change her, that she could be changed. But it's the power of Jesus that matters, not what I'm doing. The power of Jesus is our message. And even in the New Testament, when they were walking by and people were healed by their shadows, and that's pretty amazing stuff. They made very clear that people understood this is about Jesus, it's not about me. And I think we have this pressure put on us that we've got to make it sound so spectacular so people will look at us and go, wow, that guy's doing a lot for the Lord. Don't get me wrong. Do a lot for the Lord.
Is that true?
But it's about the Lord.
That's right.
It's about Jesus Christ. That's our ministry. And finally in this text it says, and they believed in Him.
Praise God.
They put their faith. The word believe means to trust in. It means to trust in the power and presence of Jesus, God. And why did they believe? Not because John was doing these miracles, because he didn't do any. Not because he was flashy and he was wearing a three-piece suit. Man, the guy was wearing camel's hair. You didn't wear camel's hair unless you were showing that you were in mourning. Okay? It's not comfortable. Not that I've ever worn camel's hair, but one of these Sundays I'm going to show up in camel's hair. I don't even know how I could get a hold of that. It probably costs too much. But you know, there was nothing about him that was like, wow, this guy's amazing. His message was, look at what God is doing in our time. And they believed, because what he said about Jesus was true. And there's another message for us in our ministry. We need to make sure that what we say about Jesus is the truth. See, I've heard people say, if you would just become a Christian, all of your worries would go away. That's not the truth. And it doesn't take very long for people who are trying to become Christians to realize that's not the truth. Unless they're deceiving themselves. We want to make our message the truth. All my worries, all the bad things in life do not go away, but I am now walking with the Savior, and it is Him that gives me strength.
That's right.
To endure the things of this life. And I now know that the Lamb of God is my shepherd. That's the truth. So when we're out there and we are coming across people who are suffering, and there are people out there who are suffering, and by the way, brothers and sisters in Christ, there are people in here who are suffering.
That's right.
And that doesn't mean you're less of a Christian. Please, come on. We need to know the truth of our Lord and Savior, that in the midst of the storm, He can give us peace. He doesn't always take away the storm. But in the midst of the storm, if we trust in Him, we can have a peace that is beyond what we understand. That's the truth. Psalm 23 is the truth. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Now, did you notice? He doesn't say God's going to keep me out of the valley of the shadow of death. By the way, that could be translated shadow of deep darkness. He doesn't keep you out of the shadow of deep darkness. He's there with you. That's the truth. And the people around us are in desperate need to hear about a God who will be there with them. So when somebody says that every day I wake up, I think I don't want to live, our message is,
I am so sorry, but I know somebody who will be with you in that storm. If you'll just let them. I know somebody that'll be with you in the midst of the things that you're going through. I will not promise this child that if she becomes a Christian, that all of those things are going to go away, because they will not.
That's right.
The people that she loves, that she mourns over, are dead. They're not coming back to life. That's not our message. Our message is that in the midst of the storm, we have a Savior, Jesus Christ, who will give us a peace that is beyond what I could manufacture on my own. Praise God.
Amen.
So when we look at ministry, our goal is not that people will be impressed with us, but that people will be impressed with Jesus Christ. So we want to make sure that the things that we're saying are the truth. But we want them so much, desperately, to be impressed with Jesus Christ. We want them to believe. We want them to put their trust in the presence and power of Jesus our Lord. That's the goal of ministry. So this morning, if there's anyone that needs prayers for any reason, if you are in the midst of suffering, we would love to pray with you. We don't have all the answers. I cannot tell you why some people have to go through some stuff and others don't. I don't know. I know it's true. But we would love to just sit with you and pray with you. Because our Father does know, and He is here. He is alive. And He makes all the difference in the world.
Amen.
If you want to know more about Jesus Christ and what it means to pattern our ministry after His ministry, because that's what we're talking about, we would love to talk to you about Jesus. Whatever you need, please come as we stand and sing.